Good morning and welcome to JFK Spotlight on Health. This is where we highlight the groundbreaking work being done at JFK University Medical Center in Edison. It's part of the Hackensack Meridian Health Network. I'm Joel Katz, and joining me this week is Dr. Iman Andalib, Director of Interventional Gastroenterology Central Region at Hackensack Meridian Health. Good morning. How are you?
Thank you for having me. Good morning.
Good morning. Did I pronounce your name correctly?
Absolutely.
Okay, I didn't check that before. I didn't want to go through the whole thing and say your name wrong the whole time.
You said it correctly.
Well, thanks for being here. Let's just jump right in and you know, interventional gastroenterology. Tell us about what you do.
Sure. So, as an interventional gastroenterologist, we pretty much we perform surgical procedures or interventional procedures that can be done with a camera, with the scope that we have, without cutting anything from outside, without having any abdominal scars or any surgeries. Everything is done through the camera that we have, which is basically the endoscope.
And how long has that been something that's been used?
So the colonoscope or the gastroscope, which is the endoscopy that people typically talk about, is something that has been going on for many, many years. Obviously, throughout the years, there has been many advancements in the instruments that we use and the techniques that we use. So it's been going on for a long time. Pretty much every couple of years, there's a new upgrade to the cameras that we use. And there are general gastroenterologists that they do screening colonoscopies, they do endoscopy, and then there's also the interventional gastroenterologists that they basically treat different diseases. Majority of patients that they actually come to me or they come to see me or any advanced gastroenterologist is usually for cancerous or precancerous lesions in the GI tract. Historically, these patients would undergo surgery. Now, again, with the advancement in endoscopic techniques and the instruments, we can offer minimally invasive procedures without cutting anything from outside. Me, in particular, I am interested in swallowing disorders that we can talk about, Barrett's esophagus, which is basically a disease that basically changes the cells inside your esophagus with chronic acid reflux symptoms. I'm interested in cancers of pancreas, liver, bile ducts, and again, as I said, I'm one of the few advanced endoscopists in the country that do a lot of surgical procedures, but endoscopically.
Okay, endoscopically. So no cutting anymore. That's long gone. All right, so some of the disorders that you mentioned. What was the first one that you mentioned? Could you tell us what that is and how that works and what takes place during the surgery? What needs to be done?
Absolutely. So one of the disorders that I am interested in is basically swallowing disorders. A lot of these patients, they have for years, they have trouble swallowing. Typically, this starts with solid food, and then it progresses to liquid food as well. So pretty much they are losing weight, they can't really eat, and they're at a loss. They go to general gastroenterologist, and they basically get diagnosed with one of these swallowing disorders that is called achalasia.
Okay.
Actually, about a year ago, and I basically treat achalasia constantly, and in fact, since I joined Hackensack Health Meridian, I'm actually the only advanced gastroenterologist at the whole Hackensack network that treats achalasia, but everything from inside. So historically, these patients would undergo surgery in their chest area, which would require abdominal scars, relatively high complication rate, and multiple days in the hospital. Now, about a year ago, a patient came up to me, a 52-year-old man, came to me frustrated because he had problems swallowing solids and liquids. His problems were getting so bad that he was actually embarrassed to go out to restaurants and eat, since mm-hmm. he would either choke on his food or have immediate vomiting.
Oh.
So when he came to me, he had lost over 40 pounds. He was diagnosed with this swallowing disorder called achalasia. So he didn't want to undergo surgery, so he wanted to see if there's any other treatment that I can offer. So I basically offered him a procedure called POEM, which is peroral endoscopic myotomy, which is basically we cut the muscle of the esophagus from inside so that these patients can eat and the food have an easier time to go down into their esophagus, into their stomach.
Mm-hmm.
And basically the procedure was about 45 minutes. The patient went home on the same day without any abdominal scars. And again, if this patient would have undergone surgery, the equivalent to POEM is called Heller's myotomy, which is what the thoracic surgeons usually do. And then this patient actually came to my clinic 6 days later. He could eat whatever he wanted, and he actually called me a couple of days ago crying while he was able to keep his hamburger down.
That's great.
So it's honestly, it's the greatest feeling in the world when you can actually treat these patients in a way that they can go home the same day, less infection, no abdominal scars, and they can go back to their work the next day. A lot of times they ask me, what's the recovery time? And I tell them, you can do whatever you want the next day without any issues.
That's amazing. That's amazing. Now, when you started doing this, was there a time when you would do this procedure and there would be scars because it hasn't been developed yet?
So this actually, the treatment that we have now, it was basically invented by one of the gurus in advanced endoscopy in Asia back in 2008. And since then, I think since 2012, 2013, we have been performing it in U.S., but I am one of the few advanced endoscopists in the whole country that have trained in this procedure. And there are only a couple in the state of New Jersey that offer this type of procedure. Since then, I've been doing this in Latin America, in the U.S., and we typically go to other countries in Latin America to do this for underserved patients, actually.
Is it difficult to learn as a doctor?
It is. So you basically have to do, after you finish your training in general gastroenterology, we typically get do 1 to 2 more years of intense training for 1 to 2 years, and you basically learn how to do different treatments of surgical endoscopy procedures, which I can talk to you more about it.
Yeah, we'd love to get into that. But I'm curious about the achalasia. Let's just talk about this particular patient that you mentioned. It was sometimes he could swallow and everything was fine, but then without notice, sometimes he could just eat something, he would vomit, or he couldn't swallow at all, or is that how it worked?
So unfortunately with achalasia, we don't really have much data on why people end up with achalasia.
That was my next question.
So one of the theories that we have is that patients actually are born with this, and it only the symptoms only develop in their 50s, 60s. And then when the patients come to you, they typically tell you that we have had problem swallowing, once in a while choking on my food, mm-hmm. and then progressively over the years have gotten worse. And then by the time that they come to me, because it's end stage or it's at the end of it, that it's just basically even liquid or solid every day, they vomit, they cannot tolerate anything throughout the day, sometimes liquid, so they're very dehydrated, they have lost a lot of weight, and they're basically mm-hmm. can't tolerate the symptoms anymore.
Right. So it's something that you theorize that they're born with it, and then as they get older, it develops and it builds up and builds up until it's unbearable.
Exactly.
Yeah. We're talking with Dr. Iman Andalib, Director of Interventional Gastroenterology at the Central Region at Hackensack Meridian Health. What are some of the other issues that you deal with patients?
Sure. So other things, as I mentioned throughout our talk, that a lot of patients that they come to me, it's usually because they have seen another gastroenterologist or another doctor that they have a cancerous or precancerous lesion in their GI tract, whether it's the stomach, whether it's the colon or the esophagus. And a lot of these patients, they either do not want to go under surgeries, or unfortunately they have underlying medical problems that would not let them to undergo surgery. Just for example, there was a patient that was referred to me last week with a 10 centimeter precancerous mass inside his rectum. This patient was seen by general gastroenterologist, was referred to a surgeon, and he was told that if they remove this precancerous lesion in his rectum, he would end up with a colostomy bag, which is basically a procedure that basically bypasses part of the colon and redirects the fecal matter to come out of a new hole in your abdomen called the stoma. So obviously the patient didn't want to undergo surgery because he did not want to have a bag for the rest of his life.
Yes, correct.
He came up to me, I saw him, and I basically did a procedure called ESD, which is called endoscopic submucosal dissection, where we actually remove the lesion from inside in one piece and saving the patient from having a colostomy bag. It took us about 4 hours to do this procedure, but I think it was worth it for the patient because he got up, he went home the same day without any issues. He went back to work the next day, and then I actually saw him in clinic yesterday, and he was very happy. I talked to him, and he was almost crying because he really didn't know what to do. Someone told him that he needs a surgery, but we were able to do it from inside.
Yeah, and you hear about that a lot in different, you know, fields of medicine where the patient is told, oh, we're going to have to do this, but then they find out later, oh, no, you really don't have to do that. It's just this. Do you come across that a lot? And do you know why the doctor who recommended surgery didn't know that this was possible?
Sure. So to be honest with you, a lot of these new techniques, a lot of these endoscopic instruments or techniques that are coming out, a lot of doctors in the community are not really aware of it. For example, this particular procedure called ESD, believe it or not, only few centers in the whole country do these type of procedures. So obviously, community physicians are not really aware of these type of procedures that are happening because these are fairly new. I would say in the U.S., we've been only doing it for the past 10, 12 years. Initially, especially in the colon, most of the time in the stomach or in the esophagus, these lesions are much easier to remove. But when it comes to colon, it's much harder. You're working in a much smaller environment. So unfortunately, the community physicians don't really know about these techniques. So what they do, they just transfer the patients to, our colleagues, the surgeons, so that basically they remove these type of tumors with surgery.
And was this something that was discovered through a colonoscopy?
This is something that discovered, again, believe it or not, from Asia. Our Asian colleagues, they are very advanced when it comes to advanced endoscopy, but here in U.S., most of us who do procedures like this, we are trained by some of those people from Asia. Mm-hmm. So,
no, what I meant was when they found the precancerous lesion, was that found during a colonoscopy?
Exactly.
Yeah, okay.
The patient actually had a screening colonoscopy. This is the importance of, as you hear us gastroenterologists or any doctor, we say it is very important for you to have a screening colonoscopy. Now we say at the age of 45.
Mm-hmm. You see how I led you into that? You see how I led you into that?
Exactly. and it's important. You're absolutely correct. Like, I'm glad that you actually mentioned it, because I cannot stress enough how important these colonoscopies are, because this patient actually had zero symptoms. He had once in a while bleeding from his rectum that he basically attributed it to his hemorrhoids.
Mm-hmm.
And then he was forced by his wife to go have a colonoscopy, and he ended up having a precancerous lesion in his rectum.
And just to clarify what a precancerous lesion is, I mean, it sounds like, but the question is, when you say precancerous, does that mean it's going to be cancerous or it could become cancerous?
So, no, it will 100% become 100%. Cancerous.
Okay.
But especially with these larger lesions, we never know. See, the thing is, most of these patients, they get these lesions that are found during a colonoscopy by a general gastroenterologist, and they biopsy just a little bit of it. Like, they basically take a sample of a corner of this lesion, and then that comes back as a precancerous cell under the microscope. Mm-hmm. And then they are referred to us, and some of these lesions, when we remove them, they are already became cancer. So when we say precancerous lesions, we mean that they are 100% going to become cancer if we don't remove them.
I don't mean to be too...
Absolutely.
I don't mean to be too picky here, but why isn't it just called cancerous right off the bat if it's going to be cancerous anyhow?
Because, to be honest with you, in order for a lesion to be cancerous, it has to have, under the microscope, it changes. The cells become different, they become more aggressive, and they can actually invade into different parts of the body. When it's precancerous, we don't know how long it's going to take for them to become cancers, but based on the research and studies, it would take about a couple of months, even to a year before they become cancer. So we have time, but we know for a fact that they would become cancer.
Right. Well, the example you just gave, you didn't really have time, right? It had become cancerous by the time you went to remove it.
Exactly. But unfortunately, by the time that these patients come to me, their initial colonoscopy was, for example, 4 or 5 months ago.
Right.
Because this patient actually had a colonoscopy about 4 or 5 months before, and then was referred to a surgeon. And then after he was told about the operation and what is involved with, he said no. And then he basically searched online, and then he found us, and then he came to us.
That's fantastic. It's great how that happens. I mean, what if? What if he didn't? What if he didn't search? You know, what if
exactly.
he didn't? They always say get a second opinion. What if he's like, this guy knows what he's talking about, and then apparently he didn't.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so that's great. So we talked about a couple of procedures that you do without, without any type of scarring, cutting. The one we were just talking about, the achalasia as well. Are there others that have advanced through the years where it's, and both of these, by the way, which you mentioned, next day you're ready to go?
Absolutely. You know, again, I feel like when we tell a patient that they are cured of cancer, I don't think there's any better feeling than that. As an advanced endoscopist, to be able to do this and spare them from having surgeries or chemotherapy, or even being able to go home the next day, is extremely gratifying.
Yeah.
So I think I'm very lucky. I'm very lucky that I have patients like this. I just thought about it. Like, even with pancreatic cancer, over the years, everybody who you talk to, patients who have pancreatic cancer or who are diagnosed with pancreatic cancer, they are mortified. They think this is it.
And it usually is, right? With pancreatic cancer. It usually is, yeah. All cancer is bad, but it's one of the worst you can get because it usually doesn't end well.
True, but I kind of disagree, actually, because with the new advancements in the imaging technology and the way that we diagnose these patients, we can catch these pancreatic cancers much sooner before they become. The problem is that with pancreatic cancer, sometimes people don't even come to the hospital or don't even have any symptoms until they are the late stages. Mm-hmm. But with the new treatments, with all of these screening tests that we offer these patients, we can diagnose patients much faster. And with the new advances that we have now, I can say that I closely work with one of our pancreatic surgeons that we have, that as soon as we diagnose them, we send them to our colleagues, and some of them, they actually get cured from the pancreatic cancer. And to that, I wanted to actually mention that some of these patients, unfortunately, when they come in with end-stage pancreatic cancer, mm-hmm. and in the past, we would tell them that, oh, you only have a month to live, or you only have 2 months to live, and their quality of life is not really good anymore. But they have to go through chemotherapy, radiation, which basically takes a toll on them. Mm-hmm. But we actually offer a procedure now that we can actually burn the pancreatic mass or the lesions or the cancer with a needle through the stomach into the pancreas, everything again from inside, and kind of just burn the tumor. It's a very new technology that we are offering patients. In fact, we did two of these procedures about a month ago at JFK. And these patients, obviously, we cannot really cure their cancer, but we can slow the progression and give these patients more months to be with their family, more months to live, and less complications from chemotherapy and radiation.
Right, so a better quality of life for the time that they have.
Better quality of life.
Time
exactly,
that they have.
For the time that they have.
Yes. All right, doctor, thank you so much. Dr. Iman Andalib, Director of Interventional Gastroenterology, Central Region at Hackensack Meridian Health. Really appreciate you coming on the program.
Thank you for having me.
For more information, go to jfkmc.org, or for a podcast of this show, you can go to foxsportsradionewjersey.com. JFK Spotlight on Health. It's brought to you by Hackensack Meridian Health. Keep getting better. I'm Joel Katz, and we'll talk again next week. We'll